And we are live. You're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. This is Not Quite Tuesday with DJ Tuesday. I forget my intro. It's something kind of pretentious. We are joined today by... Are you still going by DJ Asian?
That was never a thing. That was just for DJ Pending's Get to Know You games.
Solid. Okay. Yeah.
No, it's just David.
It's David. All right. David, do you want to tell us a little about the song that's about to play, The Little Ships?
Yes, it was featured in a very famous YouTube video from about like 7 years ago called Going to the Store.
Okay.
It's it was very ahead of its time.
Ahead of its time. Very well. This is Jean-Jacques Perry's The Little Ships off of the amazing electronic pop sounds of Jean-Jacques Perry. Excellent. Okay. All right, so I had forgotten what going to the store was like. Wow. That sure was a thing.
For those of you at home who haven't seen the video, just imagine what that song looks like, and that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, what if that song were a person, and that's what that is. Now, we have an interesting setup here where I made, like, a very... Spoiler alert, it's all the Mountain Goats. It's the last Not Quite Tuesday of the year. I just made, like, an hour of the Mountain Goats. So we're gonna be experiencing some interesting, like, tonal whiplash. I already know we are definitely going to play Tigers by Neil Cicierega at some point.
Like, yes.
maybe after this, maybe after, like, these two songs. Coming up next, something very different, although it's the fall of a star high school running back. That's like a metaphor for going to the store in a very...
I agree with you in the fact that you're completely wrong, and I don't agree with you at all.
I'm of two minds about myself here. This is fall of a star high school running back.
Thank you. a year. You rushed for an average of 8 1/3 yards per carry. All eyes were on you, junior year. Blew your knee out at an out-of-town game. Nowhere to go but down, down, down. Nothing but the ground left for you to fall to. You made a whole bunch of brand new friends, people you used to look down on, and you'd figured out a way to make real money, giving ends to your friends, and it felt stupendous. Chrome spokes on your Japanese bike, but selling acid was a bad idea, and selling it to a cop was a worse one. The new laws said that 17-year-olds could do federal time. You were the first one, so I sing this song for you. William Standiforth Donahue, your grandfather rode the boat over from Ireland, but you made a bad decision or two, yeah.
Hey, Mountain Goats. It's John Darniel over here with kind of a Birds Tom Petty pastiche kind of thing. That is a pain in the neck to play. It is called Going Invisible 2. Going Invisible 2, ladies and gentlemen. 1, 2, 3, and...
Look in the cellar where the cinders blaze, set through the shadows for days. Look in the corners, but you can't see me. Can't see me, I'm free. I'm gonna burn it all down today. Down today, okay. I'm gonna burn it all down today. Sweep all the ashes away. Count up the keepsakes in the cabinets, the keyboards and the chemistry sets. Look in the attic where the blinds are drawn. You won't find me, I'm gone. I'm gonna burn it all down today, okay. I'm gonna burn it all down today, sweep all the ashes away. Etch an outline on your heart, I'm gonna blow the whole circus apart. Reckon the remnants when they land at last, the scattered aftermath of the blast. Look for me everywhere the burn marks form, trying to find a place to keep warm. I'm gonna burn it all down today, okay. I'm gonna burn it all down today, sweep all the ashes away. I'm gonna burn it all down today, okay. I'm gonna burn it all down today. Sweep all the ashes away.
My times took my chances. Went the distance, now I'm back on my feet.
right, that was Neil Cicierega's Tiger off of Mouth Moods. Is it safe to say it's your favorite album?
What do you mean, like, out of his three albums or out of all albums in the world?
The latter.
No.
No?
There are a lot of... I don't know. It's one of my favorites.
Fair. I actually have to throw to YouTube because you might be shocked to find this is neither on YouTube Music nor Spotify, but I can't hear that song without thinking of this one. This is Lose Yourself by Eminem, slightly edited.
Okay.
This isn't Mom Spaghetti at all. Okay.
Yeah, there we go. Hello.
If you had one mom, one spaghetti, sees every mom who ever wanted one spaghetti to capture, just let it slip.
Is the first one? No. Alrighty. This seemed a little too legit, to be honest.
No, that's why it gets you.
Okay.
If you had mom's spaghetti to capture, or just let it slip. Yo, his palm's spaghetti, knees weak, arm's spaghetti, there's vomit on his sweater, spaghetti, mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm, spaghetti, to drop bombs, but he keeps on spaghetti, what he wrote down, the whole crowd goes spaghetti, he opens his mouth, but spaghetti won't come out, he's choking, how? Everybody's choking now, spaghetti's run out, time's up, over, loud, snap back to spaghetti, oh, there goes spaghetti, oh, there goes spaghetti, loud, he's so mad, but he won't give up spaghetti, no, he won't have it, he knows, he keeps on forgetting that mom's spaghetti's dope, he knows that, but he's broke, he's so stagnant, he knows when he goes back to his mom's spaghetti, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo, this old spaghetti, better go capture spaghetti, and hope it don't pass him, lose his health. Mom's spaghetti, it's ready. You better never let it go. You only get one spaghetti. Do not miss your chance to blow. Cause spaghetti comes once in a lifetime. You better lose its mouth. Your mom's spaghetti, it's ready. You better never let it go. You only get one spaghetti. Do not miss your chance to blow. Cause spaghetti comes once in a lifetime. You better. His soul's escaping through this hole that is gaping. Mom's spaghetti's mine for the taking. Make me spaghetti as we move toward a new world. A normal sweater is boring, but mom's spaghetti's close to post-mortem. It only grows harder, spaghetti grows hotter. He vomits all over, spaghetti's all on him. Coast to coast shows, he blows his own daughter. He only grows harder, homie grows hotter. He goes home and barely knows his own mom's spaghetti. There's vomit on his mom's spaghetti. These hoes don't want him no more, he's cold spaghetti. They moved on to the next mo who flows, man. He knows his palms are sweaty. Oh, spit out, he's choking now. You better lose his mouth. Your mom's spaghetti, it's ready. You better never let it go. You only get one spaghetti. Do not miss your chance to blow. Cause spaghetti comes once in a lifetime. You better lose his mouth. Your mom's spaghetti, it's ready. You better never let it go. You only get one spaghetti. Do not miss your chance to blow. Cause spaghetti comes once in a lifetime. You better. No more games, I'ma change what you call spaghetti. Tear this motherfucking roof off like two moms. I was playing in the beginning, the mood all changed. Spaghetti chewed up and spit out and his vomit on his sweater. But I kept chewing the step right in the next cipher. Hold your nose, cause here goes the damn diaper. All the vomit inside amplified by the fact that I keep on forgetting to make spaghetti and provide the right type of spaghetti for my family. Cause man, these goddamn food stamps don't buy spaghetti. And it's no movie, there's no mom spaghetti. This is my life and these palms are so sweaty. I'm so hard, my seed's escaping through this hole that is gaping. Caught up with being a father and a prima donna, baby. Vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous. Plow, another damn monotony's gotten me to the point I'm like, Mom, I've got to formulate spaghetti or end up in jail.
spaghetti. He's my only motherfucking option. The farm is not. Mama love you, but this farm has got to go.
The best part of that music video is definitely just, like, interspersed with the classic Eminem, like, cinematography. Just very dramatic shots of, like, spaghetti being poured through a colander or, like, snapping it in half for the... I'm still caught up on this Rap God thing. Can you tell the Rap God story for the...
Sure. This requires a little bit of context.
Yeah.
So, last year... Science Fiction Fantasy Society was a real club. This year it is not. But last year it was. And one of the events they did at the end of the year was the Dragon Ball. And I went for the free pizza and the friends, ended up staying for the whole thing. But there was karaoke. And for karaoke, I did that song, Mom's Spaghetti. But someone else did a true karaoke version without the without the vocals of Rap God. And, yeah.
Now, was this on the sci-fi fantasy side or the anime club side? Because...
They were dressed up as Iron Man, so I'm going to assume, sci-fi side.
Fair. You meet all sorts. We're gonna throw back here, alright. We've been interspersing, so I can cut some of these, filler songs. This is... Half Dead by, you guessed it, the Mountain Goats.
It was raining outside, so I cleaned house today. Spent half of the morning throwing old things away. Try not to get caught up. Try to think like a machine. Focus in on the task, try not to think about what it means. Can't get you out of my head. Lost without you. Half dead. Took my spot at the window. Looked out at the road. Of traffic, like a message in code, and whole boxes of memories wrapped up at the curb. I sang songs to myself that didn't have any words. Can't get you out of my head. Lost without.
colder. What are the years we gave each other ever gonna be worth? Can't get you out of my head. Lost without you.
Yep. So we were talking about our year's end. This is my freshman year. I'm happy with where it ended. It was a wild ride to get here, as we, as some listeners may know. The secret is the only people who listen are those who actually know me. David?
I don't know. I don't feel that much different. Junior year of high school, that was awful. Junior college just feels like another year of college.
Yeah.
You can't, it's kind of hard to tell how old people are in college because everyone's just doing things all over the place.
Yeah.
So there's no, it doesn't feel like junior year, this is when you do this and it's awful.
Is awful the lack of direction or the thing you would be doing if you had an assignment would be awful?
The, there's no specific classes you take in junior year that everyone says are awful, unless, right. I don't know, you're like an engineer and...
What is good?
And all your classes are listed on a sheet.
Yep.
But, no, arts and sciences, so...
Yeah.
What?
Applied mathematics?
Math and physics.
Math and physics, okay.
So on the spectrum of, like, of math versus science... You've got math, like pure math on one end, physics on the other, and then like all the other sciences beyond physics. But there's this void in between math and physics that's applied math that I don't really know anything about. Computers also fall in there. I also know nothing about those.
Right. Do you know, have you had any classes with a postdoc named Caleb Magruder?
Nope.
He taught my Calc 3 class, and we became kind of bros, and so we had a lengthy conversation the other day after finals. The man is just so passionate. I love him so much. Like, at one point, I asked him, hey, what's this Hilbert dude who, like, I see in the Bromfield Pearson halls? And he just leans forward and say, oh, did you ask that because you know he's my super favorite?
Super favorite?
Super favorite.
I like Hilbert. There's a lot of cool stuff that he did.
Yeah. Bounded energy space, something.
Yeah, that I don't know. I was talking about his hotel.
Nice. Caleb's favorite story about Hilbert was, so he was an avowed Jewish sympathizer in Nazi Germany, which was, like, metal, but he was air professor, which was like this hugely respected title, which basically gave him immunity to can't curse, to backtalk whoever he wanted. And so at one point after he founds this mathematical institute, I forget the name, staffed pretty much entirely by either Jewish people or people married to Jewish people. This gets shut down, obviously, when the Nazis pass the law that Jewish people can't be in academia, basically. Then they, like, to spite him, invite him to a state dinner. And at one point, some German high-ranking official, I think, like, there's a man in Studio D, like, Obergruppenführer or some title like that, says, like, behind his back, but like loud enough intentionally so that Hilbert can hear him. This Hilbert man, he says he can't do what he could do without the Jews. He can't run his institute without the Jews. How can that be? And Hilbert turns around and like bangs his fist on the table and is like spewing saliva in this dude's face. What institute? What institute? I have no institute. You destroyed it. And so like an incredible moment in history, added to this very like sturdy bald postdoc reenacting it. It was
I don't know what it is about like people in math academia, but for some reason they all know anecdotes about famous mathematicians, and I don't know how. I'm pretty sure it just gets passed down through word of mouth, because I don't think people are going out researching these things.
That was a major part of our conversation, was math's PR problem. It's like physics has all these like stories of eureka moments and like monolithic figures that like people in general society know, like Newton and Einstein. I feel like maybe they're just trying to compensate for that, because math doesn't really have that in the general public.
Yeah. See, I know a whole bunch of anecdotes, but I don't know if any of them are actually true, because they just get told to me.
Right.
Like, supposedly L'Hôpital, as in L'Hôpital's rule, he didn't come up with that. He just bought the rights to the theorem.
How do you buy the rights to a mathematical theorem?
He just, like, gave money to someone, and then when he wrote it down in a book, he named it after himself.
Nice power move. Ahead of his time, one would say. What century would that have been?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have all these, like, mathematicians floating around in my head that are just ambiguously in
the old times.
In the old times? Yeah. Let's see. There's another story. Another story. This one's kind of sad. It's not very funny.
Mm.
But it features three mathematicians. We've got Gauss, Lobachevsky, and Janusz Bolyai. And all three of them independently came up with non-Euclidean geometry. So Janusz Bolyai, he's like this young guy in the army or something. And he comes up with this non-Euclidean geometry. And he's really excited because, for one thing, it pretty much goes against all the mathematical dogma of the time. And he also, for some reason, knows the super famous mathematician Carl Gauss, so he just sends him a letter saying, hey, I came up with this non-Euclidean geometry thing for the first time. It's cool. Gauss sends him a letter back saying, one, I already figured this out, and two, I haven't published it because the world is not ready. Do not disturb the beehive. It's pretty shocking. Janusz Bolyai, he tries to publish his stuff, and everyone just ridicules him for it, and he eventually dies in a duel, and it's just sad. And then Lobachevsky keeps working on it as an old man, and he goes blind, and he's just working in his like little town. It's really sad.
So did Carl Gauss like sort of win by default?
Sort of. Gauss won by not doing anything and just being Gauss.
My sophomore pre-calc? No, it would have been Algebra 2 teacher. Loved Gauss, except she told stories about little Carl Gauss, and how he, like, as punishment got assigned to add up all the numbers from 1 to 100 and discovered a convergent series or something like that.
That's a pretty famous one.
Yeah.
I personally don't know if that's... out of all the anecdotes that I hear, that's the one I question the most.
Yeah, this little kid discovering, like...
But,
The one funnier one was Norbert Wiener, and I feel like this maybe gets applied to other historical figures as well, but I think it originated with Norbert Wiener.
Is he the Tufts guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was, quote-unquote, the original absent-minded professor, and he, just forgets everything, spaces out. One time he was walking back from a lecture and he forgot which car was his, so instead he waited for all the attendees to file out of a parking garage and just tested his key on the ones that were left and eventually found his car that he had been driving for 20 years or whatever.
This is the days before electronic keys.
Right, before the beep beep. So this story goes, he's ready for work one day and his wife says, "All right, now honey, as I've been telling you for weeks, we are moving out today. When you come back, you will come back to a different house. I've written the address down here. I'm putting it in your coat pocket. Don't forget." 8 hours pass or whatever. He gets ready to come home from work and he says, "All right. Home again, I guess." He's lost the paper at this point. Halfway to his old house, he realizes he's lost the paper and that he's not going where he's supposed to be going. So he's just like, "I'll go to my old house and figure something out. I'll follow a trail or something."
Look, spread out and look for clues.
Yeah. And so he comes back and sees this little girl sitting on the porch and he says, "Hello, little girl. Do you know where the Wiener family went?" Now, first of all, I don't know, like, a joke was going to be made, depending on the little girl. That's all I'm saying. Presence of mind to understand that. Second of all, this little girl ends up being his daughter, which he did not recognize.
He didn't recognize his own daughter?
He didn't recognize his own daughter. The little girl is like, "Yes, daddy, mama sent me here to make sure you got home safely. It's just down the street. We'll walk there together." Like... Yep. All right, we're gonna throw to another Mountain Goat song. Before then, we will figure out another something painfully ridiculous, I'm sure. But this is one of my favorite titled songs, which is "Pigs That Ran Straight Away Into the Water, comma, Triumph Of." It's a good one. By the Mountain Goats, naturally. Let's go.
The story of the pigs who ran straight away into the water and their great triumph. "Send me back to where I came from. Please don't send me back to where I came from. Let me go where the white magnolias grow. You're gonna fit me for that orange jumpsuit. Please don't fit me for that orange jumpsuit. Let me ride where the dragonflies glide. Yeah, but you're going to do what you want to do, no matter what I ask of you. You think you hold the high hand, I've got my doubts. I come from Chino, where the asphalt sprouts. Big bus headed southeast from the courthouse, but I'm not headed southeast from the courthouse. Let some mysterious chunk of space debris puncture the roof and set me free. And even if I have to go to Claremont, well, I guess I'll just have to go to Claremont. Let me go. Let me lie low. Yeah, but you're going to do what you want to do, no matter what I ask of you. And you send your dark messengers to tempt me. I come from Chino, so all your threats are empty. We'll be right back.
All right, and just like that, we're back because we realized it was PSA time. The only PSAs really on shows that we've either been on or have listened to are the Earthquake one on DJ Pendings and the one that the former disgraced DJ Remedy reads every single time.
Disgraced DJ Remedy.
But then we so normally I just read the first drinking and driving one because it's like two sentences. When I'm in a jovial mood, I read the ladder safety PSA. And again, much like the disgraced DJ Remedy, which will be when she returns. If she returns next year, she will be like punished Remedy.
Will she return? Will she return in Avengers Endgame?
Who knows? I chose this one based on a sight gag, just because it's a man falling off a ladder, but someone has like drawn in arrows as if he is now ascending. It's the rapture. But then we realized that people have been writing PSAs in the back. One of them is laced with profanity, but this one is both radio safe and deeply germane to my life in Miami. This is I also just realized that whereas the PSAs that are supposed to stay in this book have no kill written up in the corner, this one says please kill, oh god please kill.
Maybe we should read a real PSA after we read this fake one.
Yes. This one is on jewel theft. A new trend is sweeping the nation. Pause. Jewel theft. From the northern tip of Maine to the southern tip of California, teenagers are... This is nothing. That's not a word. Their beloved jewels. Mint. Licorice. When will the madness end? 2 question marks. Incredible. The latter one is very long,
wait,
I've realized.
Wait, that's it?
That's it.
It doesn't tell you how to prevent it?
It does not. They're legal. They're legal, so this should be okay. Wait, no, I can't tell this story, actually. All right. I'm telling a redacted version of this story wherein down in Miami, in the great jewel shortage of fall 2017, which was a real and present danger to preppy high school kids, including... Can't say that. No. I'm so... Basically, a man with the last name of Chia Tao, who is just an incredible person, would go to parties where everyone was completely sober and wait till everyone got very sleepy. And when everyone got very sleepy and tired and not lucid, he would come up with a bag of USBs wrapped in black electrical tape and sell them for $60 to the unsuspecting public. This worked a distressing number of times. He made a distressing amount of money off of this scheme. With that said, if you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio, directed at James R. Bailey.
That's an excellent transition.
Yep. It's such a... It's... Yeah.
What?
There's a lot of things. First of all, and Rose and I have talked about this a lot, the way you have to hold your tongue in front of the FCC is a little strange, but also, there are some blatantly illegal behaviors that I understand not being allowed to discuss on radio. Second of all, I was about to say, it's such a strange business model, but then I realized we're not getting paid for these. We're not getting paid for the PSAs. It's just sort of... We have decided it's our societal duty.
Yeah, it's for the public good.
It's for the public good.
You gotta warn people about jewel theft.
And earthquakes. And anime girl-based sight gags that are only funny to the people in the studio.
Yep.
Do you have a song rec coming up?
No. We didn't.
We did not. I'm ambushing you. I'm not. This is what else? This is gonna be, because we're 45 minutes in. All of a sudden, this is gonna be Abandoned Flesh by. I'm giving you free guesses.
Robert Smith is secure at his villa in France. Any child knows how to do the spiderweb dance. Susie has enough hits to keep the bills paid. Every New Year's in Los Angeles, you can still see Richard Blade. But the world forgot about Gene Loves Jezebel. Yeah, the world forgot about Gene Loves Jezebel. They charted once or twice. They were on a major label. When the singer went solo, he left money on the table. Two main guys are related. They're at war with each other. Now there's two genes loving Jezebel. One for each brother, but the world came to agree. What you see is what you get. And what you get is what you see. Whether you're the March Violets or the Bolshoi, bands who had to leave the darkness for the sun. Red Lori, Yellow Lori, we're on Cherry Red, I think. They've been playing clubs since 1981. To be fair to Gene Loves Jezebel, Billy Corgan brought him on stage. It was in 2011, it's on their Wikipedia page. But for the most part, however big that chorus bass may throb, you and me and all of us are gonna have to find a job. Because the world will never know or understand. The suffocated splendor of the once and future goth band.
The sky is the limit. when you're thinking about the capacity of a hard drive of that size, it's as if you have 300 huge file cabinets, 300 file cabinets of storage capacity. That's right. The biggest arena of computers today, the biggest arena, is in the CD-ROMs. It's the biggest growing sector of computers, and it's not going to stop. It is not going to stop. It's not a fad. Ladies and gentlemen, it's tomorrow, today. There's 26 volumes of an encyclopedia on one disc, on one CD disc. That's right. We're talking about 9 million words just for starters on that disc. That's on one disc. You couldn't get close to that on a floppy disk. 9 million megabytes. This comes with the CD-ROM built in.
Okay, I'm very glad I heard that. I'm looking at the Genius lyrics page, and this is, that was from 1992, that sampled audio. That machine would have cost $4,000.
Yeah, I looked up this song on Who Sampled, where it shows you videos of the songs that got sampled, and one of them is, you get two videos on one side of your screen. One is the I Would Walk 500 Miles song, and the other one is just an ad for an old computer and with no music whatsoever. They're just selling a computer.
What class did you write your paper on, Niels Asiriego?
Oh, yeah. So, music, tech, and digital culture. At the beginning of the year, the professor said, oh, yeah, you're going to be writing a research paper and you get to choose a topic. So I asked myself, what musician do I know that uses technology in their music production? Oh, Niels Asiriego. He takes a lot of stuff and puts All-Star over it.
All-Star. And was this just like a free elective or a Haas or?
It was to satisfy my arts distribution requirement.
Yeah. Engineers don't have those.
Yeah.
Niels Asiriego, what a man. He's been like a god of the internet for the past decade or
yeah,
so, right?
Yeah, he is like the shadow king of the internet. He made Potter Puppet Pals, the ultimate showdown of Ultimate Destiny.
Right.
A whole bunch of other songs. He made Brody Quest. He made some other stuff that I can't really remember off the top of my head.
Fair. What have we got? What have we got? We could play Mole by the Mountain Goats. That's very severe. I think our last two songs are just going to be off of the Sunset Tree. We are, of course, ending with This Year, which is the only correct Mountain Goats song to end a semester of radio with. But first up, before that, is Up the Wolves.
Several things that you're gonna find really difficult to forgive. There's gonna come a day when you feel better. You'll rise up free and easy on that day and float from branch to branch, lighter than the air. Just when that day is coming, who can say? Who can say? Our mother has been absent ever.
ever since we founded Rome. But there's gonna be a party when the wolf comes home. We're gonna commandeer the local airwaves to tell the neighbors what's been going on, and they will shake their heads and wag their bony fingers in all the wrong directions, and by daybreak we'll be gone.
And that's about time. You've been listening to Not Quite Tuesday on WMFO 91.5 FM in Medford. It's been a wonderful semester. David, it's been an absolute pleasure as always.
Yes.
Yep. And I guess it's time for the outro. We are wishing you a bit of tender mercy in this one long sweltering summer. Next up is Strike the Box with Chris. I'm going to go walk a dog. Have a wonderful day. Oh.